For our friend of the neighborhood, Mary Shang Barnage. Welcome, you're on the air. Hello, Mary. Mary?
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. How are you doing? You're a little staticky over there. Oh, there, now you're good.
Okay, well, that's what happens when you live with an L train in your backyard. Okay, it tends to foul up the wireless a little bit.
Well, it's fine. Mary has been our guest for the past couple of years that we have been doing our New Year's specials. She's calling, since she mentioned the L train, of course, from Chicago, where she has been one of their absolute leading theater critics for, gosh, must be about 40. How many years has it been, Mary?
Okay, I started in 89, so it's over 25 years.
Wow. I didn't realize you started after I did. I thought you've been doing it even longer than that. Were you ever at the Chicago Tribune?
Oh, no, not the dailies. I started at the Reader and...
Reader, that was it, yeah.
Okay, the Reader and then went on to Windy City Times with a couple of other little papers along the way.
Cool. Well, yeah, and now you're still with Windy City Times.
Yes.
And... Last time you mentioned there were one or two others that you were writing for as well.
Okay, well, I write feature stories for a website called theaterinchicago.com.
Theaterinchicago.com.
Yes.
So those you do features for in the Reader, you review two shows a week, generally. That's your...
Yes, okay, well, at Windy City Times, I usually do two a week. Sometimes more, and around this time of year when all of the other critics are basking in Mexico or going out of town or sleeping on rice bags in the pantry at their family's home, I am pulling the Bob Cratchit shift, and so reviewing a lot more.
Which I guess is good. I mean, it's what you do anyway. Do you
yeah.
still, even at this point, go to, like, four or five shows a week?
Okay, I try to. Lately, I haven't, since, as I might have told you, last February, somebody said, break a leg, and I did.
Oh.
Now, if I had to break a leg, I couldn't have been lucky enough to do it falling off a bicycle in third grade or playing softball in high school. I had to wait till I was this old to do it, so I spent a few months in rehab looking down at my leg and saying, heel, damn it, I'm missing plays.
Oh, gosh. Now, you were shoveling snow in front of your stoop? Was that the deal?
No. Last winter was a rather warm winter, so I stepped out on the porch to get the newspapers and slipped on the last little patch of ice seen all winter. And instead of a nice, clean pratfall, I landed at an angle and struck it with the side of my leg. Though actually, this loops around to how long I've been reviewing, because I was hollering at the physical therapist, saying, how could this happen? I was raised in Southern California, out in the desert. I was soaking up vitamin D. I have incredibly strong bones. And then somebody pointed out that for the last 25 years, I've been working at a job where I never leave the house until after sundown. Okay, and I said, you know, that vitamin D doesn't last forever. So now I'm taking my vitamin D in a daily pill and reminding myself that the bones aren't quite as strong as they used to be.
Wow. You know, you were out of commission for about 3 months early in the year, right? But then you started going.
I was out for about 5 months.
Ooh, yeah.
Once I got home, I realized that I couldn't just pick up where I left off, so I did what they told me, and when I got home, I didn't go out to plays for a little while. Then went out to plays in first floor, ground level theaters.
Yeah. Oh, right. So you could at least...
I was working my way up to the long stairs in the den and at other theaters where if it was a steep ramp into the theater. Okay, I asked if I could go in through the dressing room, okay, where I wouldn't have to be climbing up and climbing down. And when you've been reviewing as long as I have, apparently people trust you. I told him if I don't know what a naked actor looks like by now, I shouldn't be doing this job. So well, they let me go through the dressing room, and the actors said, oh, okay, come right this way. Okay. They made a path for me, and were quite friendly.
But you didn't take any naughty selfie pictures of actors while they were, and then putting them on the internet or Instagram.
Okay, I promised them I would not gawk or gossip.
Well, you're gossiping now, but you didn't gawk, so that's good.
Okay, well, no, not gossip, meaning I won't tell anybody where the birthmarks are, I won't tell anybody who wears the support stockings.
Who wears the spanks,
Mary? I wear the support stockings, I find them very helpful, but you know... Let me ask you a question, Mary. This is when Joyce and I first moved out to Colorado, all anybody could ask us or say was, well, Dave, you were a theater critic for all those years. You would go to the theater 3, 4, 5 times a week or more. Mm-hmm. Now that you're, don't you miss it? Don't you miss the theater? Don't you miss Broadway? Don't you miss going to all that all the time? And sometimes I do, but I miss it a lot less than I thought I would. When you were out of commission for all those, for 5 months, essentially, did you miss theater less than you thought you would, or was it really like, did you go through withdrawals?
Well, first off, since I make my living writing reviews, my first thought was all the money that I wasn't making.
Yeah.
There were also some plays that I was really looking forward to seeing. I'm still sorry that I missed Michael Patrick Thornton playing Richard III. Mm. Let me explain why. Well, Michael Patrick Thornton is probably barely 30, but some years ago he had a spinal stroke that put him in a wheelchair. But he still runs his own theater company.
Wow.
And he still acts, and it's at the point and now where Andrew Hinderaker wrote a play for a guy in a wheelchair.
Mm.
He's also been at Looking Glass in plays that... where the role wasn't really written for a guy in a wheelchair, but they said, well, why not have a guy in a wheelchair do it?
And so they chose, in this case, Richard III, which I guess...
Which makes him perfect for Richard III. Now, I've seen him play Iago before, wheelchair and all, and he was one badass Iago.
Okay.
He had little weapons hidden in that wheelchair, and maybe with the right fight choreographer, Stephen Hawking could kick your ass.
Well, I don't know how to even take that, Mary.
How did you know what that was? David's bumper sticker.
Okay, hey, with the right fight director. Okay, well, at any rate, okay. So what was so spectacular about him doing Richard III? Was that the Rehab Institute of Chicago, was in on it, and they had him walking in one of those exoskeleton suits.
It must have been so
cool.
It's sort of like in Transformers. Okay, where essentially he's wearing a metal cage that walks with him in it.
Whoa.
And I really, really wanted to see that, but for the entire run, okay, I was doing donuts in a wheelchair, okay, at a rehab center myself.
Hey, Mary, let me ask you a question. Joyce came up with an interesting question. You know, so much of New York theater now is, and London West End theater, is videotaped for various purposes. Either they've got them at the Library of Performing Arts, or they're putting them on TV now, or great performances, or putting them in different, or live streaming them. Is Chicago catching up with that at all? So stuff you don't see you could, or stuff you wanted to see you can see again?
Okay, not that I know of. Most theaters do videotapes of performance strictly for archival purposes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those are like stationary cameras. Okay, they aren't movies.
No, I understand that. I mean, that's what New York has been doing for many years. The Lincoln Center Library of Performing Arts will tape virtually every Broadway show, and has been for like 2 or 3 decades. But you gotta go up to the library on 65th, Street in Manhattan and reserve it, and you can't take it from the library, you know, because of union rules and all that. So that is very different from, you know, a 3-camera, 5-camera movie-like real presentation.
Okay.
I know that's different, yeah.
I know, it's different from the whole Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, right. Well, or the Peter Pangs they've been doing on TV, or the grease and the hairspray and all that. Hey, did you see any of those? Did you watch any of the musicals that they did this year or last year?
Okay, I did see Hairspray. Okay, I was out of the play the night they did the Rocky Horror Show, but I looked at a couple of the. A couple of the video numbers on my computer afterwards. Adam Lambert makes a great Eddie.
Okay, cool. Did you like Hairspray?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
For a television studio, they cut it down very well, and they. Realized that they couldn't possibly do the right kind of setting, so they did a claymation setting.
Oh.
So it was very well conceived, very well put together.
Now, speaking of things that are well conceived and well put together, a lot of times on our New Year's shows, we ask you what were a couple of the best shows that you saw in Chicago. This past year, I mean, you did get to see 7 months of theater, if not 12.
Okay.
So, what were some of the really good things that you remember from this past season?
You're probably looking for homegrown Chicago productions.
Well, yeah, touring would be interesting, but I think tell us about what's happening in Chicago.
Chicago is the home of the oldest working equity actor in America.
Uh-huh, Mike Nussbaum?
I've seen two plays with him in it, and he's got another one opening up in a month or so, and he's 93 now.
Oh my gosh!
And for Bakersfield, Miss, he had a walking stick, but they had to cut the big knockdown, drag out, wrestling and grappling fight scene.
But he still remembers his lines. He can walk around okay. He's good up there. He's not. You're not just.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is. Okay. A bit of gossip. Another actor told me he does 50 push-ups in the dressing room before every performance.
Whoa. The thing is, he starts 4 hours earlier, but still.
David is doing that right now.
Yeah.
The point is, do you know how many actors in this city couldn't do 10 push-ups if they tried?
Oh, I hear you. I know. Although, actually, Chicago has that reputation for being so physical and visceral. I imagine that most Chicago actors actually could, because they're used to getting, throwing chairs around and stuff.
Yes. Okay, as it is, the big fight scene in Bakersfield Mist was converted to a... To what David Woolley calls a fur and feather fight, okay, where people throw everything in the room at each other.
Whoa, okay. So what are some of the other things that you really liked this past season in Chicago theater?
Since you've caught me in the middle of writing reviews, I have to... Stretch back for more than a couple of weeks. There's a wonderful production of In the Heights.
Oh.
That extended four times. I was sending everybody to it saying there are two Lin-Manuel Miranda musicals playing in Chicago, and this is the one you can see before Labor Day next year.
I mean, here's a question, because I've seen In the House a couple of times, and it's really good, it's really entertaining. Have you seen Hamilton yet, or it's just been in New York, you haven't had a chance to see it?
I haven't seen it. because when it opened here in Chicago, only the reviewing critics were got tickets for the opening night. Since the theater editor at Windy City Time naturally had snatched up that slot for himself, I still haven't seen Hamilton.
Okay, because I was wondering if Hamilton was that much better than in the high, if he made this incredible leap talent-wise.
Well, I've already heard, naturally, that our Hamilton is better than the one currently playing in New York, but you would have expected that.
Everybody feels so much better about their own homegrown or sit-down productions than...
But the thing with In the Heights is that In the Heights is the reason that there was a Hamilton. In the Heights, hadn't made everybody say, whoa, this boy's got something. There probably wouldn't have been a second play. It's sort of like when Rahm Emanuel was first became our mayor. A lot of the publicity around him said that the first date where he asked out the woman who would become Mrs. Rahm Emanuel. The first date he took her on was to a play down in Pilsen.
Nice.
Which set us all trying to remember what theater companies they were located in Pilsen back then, and what was the play that made this woman decide to go with him on a second date, thereby making history.
Oh, man. All right.
This would have been back in the 80s when, before the hipsters took over Pilsen.
Oh, well.
So we're trying to figure out now what play did he go to?
So what are other plays that you went to that you really liked?
Let's see. Brainy plays. Davey, talk to your audience for a little while. While I run into the other room and get my calendar.
Oh, Mary, you should have been prepared. Tisk tisk tisk.
Exactly. Won't take but a minute. I'm walking a lot more agilely now.
Thank God. Yeah. All right, you go get your stuff. I shall indeed. We're talking, by the way, with Mary Sheng Barnage. She is a theater critic for Windy City Times out in Chicago, and also theater something, I forgot the name of the other website, where she does feature stories about Chicago theater. She's one of the most respected critics in the Windy City, and really in America. She's a marvelous writer. And by the way, if you can't read her stuff on Windy City Times, remember that her reviews are also syndicated to TotalTheater.com, one of our sponsors. TotalTheater.com. You can read her reviews and reviews from other critics in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and Milwaukee and South Florida, all for free in the Criticopia section. There's a Periodica section of articles and interviews about the theater. Oh, she's back. Hold on. Well, so, welcome back, Mary. So, yeah, go look through your calendar and tell us other shows we should be that you really love this year.
A recent show wasn't a musical. It was called Miss Bennett Christmas at Pemberley.
Yeah, you posted that just about 2 weeks ago, I think. That's a recent one.
Yeah, at the end of November. It's a wonderful sequel to Pride and Prejudice. And it gives the bookish Mary Bennett her due. Let's see. Going back a little farther. You can tell I'm doing this extempore because I'm starting to stammer. But apologize to your radio audience.
Oh, it's fine there.
A very Chicago play was something called Chops. Okay, which essentially is three guys, a girl in a bar, and they're all talking very fast, and they're all trying to put one over. Okay, essentially it's a second generation David Mamet.
Okay.
But it's lots of fun. The Babes with Blades fight troupe.
Oh, they're still around. My God, you've been talking about them for years. The Babes with Blades.
Oh yes, okay, but now they've got people writing real plays for them. Okay, they did a play called Promise of a Rose Garden, which was about women in the Marines.
Okay.
They're doing things that Marines do rather than things that women do, going dinky dow on the battlefield.
What does that mean? Well, I'm sorry, what is that? I know you were in, by the way, Mary was in the military, but I don't know what, I assume it's a Vietnam reference, but what does going dinky dow mean?
Dinky dow, it's a GI pronunciation of Den Kai Dao, which literally means off the wall. It means you're going nuts. Technically it's an anachronism because Promise of a Rose Garden is set during the Iraq War.
Okay.
So I'm giving away my age.
No, well, not quite, but actually, do you mind telling us how old are you, Mary?
I'm 68 now. Going to be 69 next year.
All right. So you've got a bunch of years left to do what you do, thank goodness. Just don't be slipping on ice no more, you know?
I'm being careful. Another homegrown Chicago musical was The Man Who Murdered Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh.
The score is by a woman named Julie Shannon, who wrote The Christmas Schooner and died a couple of years ago.
So how did she end up writing a new score?
She and John Rieger, who's another very, very big name in Chicago musicals, had been working on this during her last days, and they brought in Michael Mahler to try and finish it, and so it finally premiered.
And it was good.
Yes, okay. Now, The Man Who Murdered Sherlock Holmes, of course, is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sir Arthur leaves London because everyone is after him to resurrect Sherlock Holmes. And so he goes out to the country. And the imaginary Sherlock Holmes meets up with him, and together they solve a mystery.
That sounds really cool, actually.
Okay, it is. Okay, and Julie Shannon, wrote wonderful, wonderful melodies.
Nice. Okay, what would you say is like the best performance that you got to see all year in Chicago?
Chicago is,
Well, it's a great actor's town, of course.
Of course I'm immediately thinking about Steppenwolf, because everybody thinks about Steppenwolf. It's hard to single out a single actor because Chicago is also known for its ensemble work.
True.
Looking at things I've seen, there was a production of Man in the Ring. Christopher, what's his name? Who wrote The Shadow Box?
Michael Christopher.
Yes. This is a boxing play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of physicality, but not really a lot of boxing in it. Okay, but it's a story of the boxer sometimes. If anybody in your audience is a boxing fan, you know immediately who I'm talking about.
Okay.
He was pitted in a match against an opponent, who really wasn't in shape for fighting, and who. Essentially, call him a queer.
Oh.
Okay. Whereupon he beat his opponent so badly he put his opponent into a coma, and he died.
Well, that's Bobby Mancini and Bobby Chacon. Warren Zevon wrote a song about it, no? Or is that another era?
Another era.
Okay.
But the point is that the man in the ring. Court theater didn't usually does not nice polite classics from the repertoire. Okay. Court theater seems to have written into its mission statement, "We will not stir the blood." But this was an exception. Okay, this definitely stirred the blood. It sent people out. In a different state than when they came in.
Nice.
And that was wonderful. Okay. House Theater of Chicago. Does very. Very performance-oriented, very physical things. They did something called the comedic tragedy of Mr. Punch.
Okay.
That is the story of, now you know Mr. Punch as in Punch and Judy.
Oh, Punch, no, okay. I thought you said Punt, which rhymes with something else. Punch, okay.
So on one level, it is a Punch and Judy puppet show.
Uh-huh.
On another level, it is a show about the puppeteers. On a third level, it is about both of them getting tangled up together. But as usual, there are huge puppet effects, and since the stage is bigger than the audience, we're all right in the middle of it.
Nice. Yeah, and you have a thing for one of the shows that you took me to, and this is going back, oh my gosh, probably about 20 to 25 years now. I mean, we're talking late 80s, early 90s, when I first went to Chicago, and Mary took me around to a bunch of shows and showed me the ins and outs of Chicago theater. And one of them was a visceral boxing play. Since then, I've seen Rocky in New York and some other plays like it, but back then, it was something. Yeah.
And Never Come Morning.
That's right, Never Come Morning. And you took me to Hell Cab, and you took me to Too Much Light, which was miraculous. And or maybe I went to that one myself, and you took me to, oh God, there was this one.
And I also took you to an updated Vanity Fair at Lifeline Theater.
Right.
Okay, where you fell in love with Catherine O'Connor.
I didn't fall in love with her. She was cute. She was very cute. But there was this other one. There was this one that was really out there. Was it Torso? There was violence and nudity and cursing and insanity. It was just nuts.
Was it called Cannibal Cheerleader?
Yes.
Okay. Oh yes. That was Torso Theater.
Cannibal Cheerleaders on Crack. I remember that too.
Ran for 10 years.
Wow. Well, it wasn't that great, but it was that sort of Chicago, like, we can do anything, it's no budget, let's just get out there and, you know, be crazy in a way that other theater, you know, other places in America can't, you know?
Something like that, though not as slap happy, I recently saw a production of Hit a Gambler.
Wait, we just went from Cannibal Cheerleaders on Crack to Hit a Gambler, and yet you're putting them in the same genre?
This Hit a Gambler, for one thing, it has an all-African-American cast. Hedda and her husband are African-Americans.
Okay.
It's set in what looks sort of like Louisiana, outside New Orleans. There's this spotlit birdcage hanging in the middle of the set, and there are all these vases of dead flowers around the room. And okay, this is being done in a theater. Okay, I don't know how big your studio is, but that's about how big the theater is.
Oh, okay.
Chicago is also famous for its storefront theaters, and this is a very small storefront.
Well, actually, Hedda Gabler is a pretty small cast, so it's a doable show in a small space, you know.
Not all that small a cast.
Hmm.
Okay, let's see. Okay, other good plays. Recently some developers knocked down a big building, okay, a couple blocks away from my house, and in doing so, displaced three theater companies.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Straw Dog was in a loft in the building, and so they just couldn't do anything. Okay, except leave. Okay, Mary Archie was in a building right next to the building being knocked down.
Uh-huh.
But okay, it was also way up on a second floor loft. Okay, and Oracle Theater was on the first floor and was technically one whole storefront away from the building being knocked down. Okay, but the construction people wanted to use their building as headquarters for the whole project. So Oracle was sent packing too.
So did all these three theaters call it quits? Oracle, Mary Archie, and
Mary Archie calls it quits because Rich Katofsky has been running it for 30 years and he just kind of decided that maybe he wants to do something else for a while. Now he's still acting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's still acting. He hasn't got the responsibility of the whole company. Okay, Straw Dog found itself temporary quarters in Factory Theater's new space way up on Howard Street.
Okay.
They went way up by the city limit. Okay, only a few blocks farther west than the old Wisdom Bridge back in the 70s.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I think you were once at a theater critics conference in Chicago where we saw the Great Gatsby up at Wisdom Bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
I was in the van with the rest of you guys, and you didn't know where we were going. You just knew the van kept going and going.
Yeah.
And every time you looked out of the window, you saw another theater.
That's what Chicago is like. And what about Oracle? What happened to them?
Oracle did the Hedda Gabler.
Oh, so
that I just described. Continuing in the old Signal Ensemble space, because the Signal Ensemble decided that this last year that all of their actors are being pursued for projects elsewhere.
Mm.
And so they said, we're all going to keep doing theater, but we don't have to do it together anymore. So they disbanded, and Oracle took over their space way over by the Ravenswood L tracks.
Last questions for you about Chicago theater. Now, last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, we were talking. It was just a horrible year because you were losing so many, like a bunch of artistic directors and major actors there just died one after the other. This year wasn't like that, but there was you had a scandal. out there this year. Some theater company, some artistic director was being naughty or something.
Okay, I will get to that. Just let me just finish off.
Sure.
Okay, with the theaters being moved. Okay, something else that has caused a couple of theaters to just recently decide to shorten their season next year.
Oh, what?
We've got this baseball team here, you see.
Oh, of course.
Well, we've got this baseball team that hasn't won a World Series in over 100 years, and this year it did. This year it made the playoffs, okay, and it won. Okay, so while it was in the playoffs and getting closer and closer to the big one, okay, I would be in theaters with like 10 other people in the audience.
Well, yeah, I understand
all
that.
All the theaters took a big hit in the wallet.
But why didn't they just either cancel for that week or two, or just, I mean, because the playoffs and the World Series, or, you know, move their shows or make it a week later, or they just couldn't do that?
The thing with sports playoffs, okay, is that every game determines whether or not there will be another one.
Well, you know there are going to be at least four.
Okay.
Of playoffs in the World Series.
But nobody in Chicago knows if they know that if the Cubs won this game, it means they're going to be playing another game, and there probably won't be a lot of audience that night.
Yeah.
Okay, but they don't know what will happen at the game after that.
Oh, for sure. I know.
Whoever ever thought so many people who go to the theater would be staying home to watch the ball game?
Well, when the Cubs are making the playoffs in the World Series for the first time in like ever, you know, you got to figure. The theaters were telling you got to figure the actors would want to just stay home and just cancel the show instead of going on, you know.
Okay, I remember the next to last game, okay, what was the night that Andrew Hinderaker's The Magic Play opened at the Goodman. What a lovely little play, by the way. I hope it goes to New York soon. Or somewhere else. But that night, people were told to turn off their cell phones, and then as part of the play, the magician tells them to turn them back on. Text a message that gets printed up on an onstage screen. And so forth. Okay, and then turn them off again. People obediently turned off their phones. But the minute curtain came down, if you look out in the lobby, there were people lined up three deep by the Goodman's French window, all with their phones out.
Well, of course. So we just have like another minute or two before we got to get to our next New Year, our big countdown thing. So tell us very quickly we don't even have that time. It's like 10:58 already. So very quickly then, what do you hope for in Chicago theater in the year ahead?
I hope all the theaters who lost money. As a result of the baseball season and also of a lot of people preferring to huddle by the grump fire and scare themselves to death over the election, I hope all the theaters recoup their losses and the audiences come back to them. Since what we can all remember, is that art endures. Ars vitrix, that's Latin for art endures, and only art endures.
Hmm. I hope you're right. I think you might be right, you know. Come to think of it, I mean, that's what comes down to us from the ancient Greeks. Not much else. So, yeah.
Okay, we're still seeing Sophocles. We're still seeing Shakespeare. Okay, I'll bet you can't name the 11th president of the United States.
Oh, hell, I can't even name the current president of the United States. So there you go. That could be because it's almost 11 o'clock here. I'm going to tell everybody, it is just about 11 o'clock here Mountain Time, which means that it's almost midnight Central Time. So, Mary, hang with us to count down the Chicago New Year. We're going to play a little countdown for everybody, and then we'll wish everybody a big Happy New Year in the central part of this country. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Dave's Gone By New Year's special here. And let's get the countdown going. Here we go.
Get ready for the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year, everybody! Happy, happy.
Happy New Year. I can hear fireworks going off by my house.
Wow, okay. I hope they're fireworks and not guns, considering it's Chicago, you know.
No, I would recognize gunfire. I'm close enough to the lake. That's where they're probably setting them off.
Well, you have, as always, set off fireworks about art and theater and culture in our hearts. And we're always very, very happy and proud to have Mary Sheng Barnage with us in the Dayburg, especially on these New Year shows. So, Mary, I want to wish you a much healthier, much more active and happier 2017. Joyce is pointing at something. Hold on. She's playing. What is she playing? Here we go. Here's some Auld Lang Syne. Not sure if you can hear that playing, but anyway, Mary, so really, yeah.
Have you ever heard the song from The Hostage that uses that same tune?
No, Brendan Behan's The Hostage? I didn't know. No.
I'll see if I can find a video for it, since I don't think I can sing it over the radio.
Okay, we'll find it and email it, and we can play it maybe later in the show, yeah.
Lyrics.
I can imagine. Well, Mary, it's been absolutely a delight talking to you. Remember, folks, that you can read her reviews in Windy City Times. And what was that other website for your articles? It was Theater Now Chicago?
Theaterinchicago.com.
Theaterinchicago.com. So, Mary, most...
I don't know anything about Chicago theater, what's playing, what's good, what's bad. Go to that website. It is a guide to Chicago theater.
Well, so are you, Mary, and that's why we're always proud to have you in the neighborhood. Most happy, much happiness and much health, for gosh sakes, in 2017. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, and thank you, and we will talk later.
God willing. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Mary Sheng Barnage, one of the absolute best writers about theater in America, and she specifically writes, of course, about Chicago theater, with us in the neighborhood, celebrating our 2016 going into 17 New Year.